The plaster didn't crack and then vomit outward in chunks. It seemed to have become plastic. And as the wall continued to bulge, making an irregular white bubble shape from which scraps and draggles of wallpaper still hung, the surface began to mold itself into hills and curves and valleys. Suddenly, Jake realized he was looking at a huge plastic face that was pushing itself out of the wall. It was like looking at someone who has walked headfirst into a wet sheet. There was a loud snap as a chunk of broken lath tore free of the rippling wall. It became the jagged pupil of one eye. Below it, the wall writhed into a snarling mouth filled with jagged teeth. Jake could see fragments of wallpaper clinging to its lips and gums. One plaster hand tore free of the wall, trailing an unraveling bracelet of rotted electrical wire. It grasped the sofa and threw it aside, leaving ghostly white finger marks on its dark surface. More lathing burst free as the plaster fingers flexed. They created sharp, splintery claws. Now the face was all the way out of the wall and staring at Jake with its one wooden eye. Above it, in the center of its forehead, one wallpaper elf still danced. It looked like a weird tattoo. There was a wrenching sound as the thing began to slide forward. The hall doorway tore out and became a hunched shoulder. The thing's one free hand clawed across the floor, spraying glass droplets from the fallen chandelier. Jake's paralysis broke. He turned, lunged through the French doors, and pelted down the second length of hallway with his pack bouncing and his right hand groping for the key in his pocket. His heart was a runaway factory machine in his chest. Behind him, the thing which was crawling out of the mansion's woodwork bellowed at him, and although there were no words, Jake knew what it was saying. It was telling him to stand still, telling him that it was useless to run, telling him there was no escape. The whole house now seemed alive. The air resounded with splintering wood and squalling beams. The humming, insane voice of the doorkeeper was everywhere. Jake's hand closed on the key. As he brought it out, one of the notches caught in the pocket. His fingers, wet with sweat, slipped. The key fell to the floor, bounced, dropped through a crack between two warped boards, and disappeared. He's in trouble! Susanna heard Eddie shout, but the sound of his voice was distant. She had plenty of trouble herself, but she thought she might be doing okay just the same.
I'm gonna melt that icicle sugar, she had told the demon. I'm gonna melt it, and when it's gone, what you gonna do then?
She hadn't melted it exactly, but she had changed it. The thing inside her was certainly giving her no pleasure, but at least the terrible pain had subsided and it was no longer cold. It was trapped, unable to disengage. Nor was she holding it in with her body, exactly. Roland had said sex was its weakness as well as its weapon, and he had been right as usual. It had taken her, but she had also taken it, and now it was as if each of them had a finger stuck in one of those fiendish Chinese tubes where yanking only sticks you tighter. She hung on to one idea for dear life, had to, because all other conscious thought had vanished. She had to hold this sobbing, frightened, vicious thing in the snare of its own helpless lust. It wriggled and thrust and convulsed within her, screaming to be let go, at the same time it used her body with greedy, helpless intensity, but she would not let it go free.
And what's going to happen when I finally do let it go? She wondered desperately. What's it going to do to pay me back?
She didn't know.